You are about to hear a 15-minute free preview of the latest bonus show to hit our Patreon-only podcast feed. Top Rope Nation Patreon members have access to multiple members-only podcasts every single month, including at least one new show each and every week. This includes new episodes of TRN Classics, TRN Unplugged, and TRN Extra, plus ad-free versions of our weekly flagship show, merchandise giveaways, virtual hangouts, and other benefits. So in order to support us and ensure Top Rope Nation continues well into the future, and to gain access to all of these great benefits and exclusive shows, join the Patreon page now. You can get full access for just $5 per month. Click that link in the broadcast description to learn more and enjoy this free preview of one of our latest Patreon bonus shows. Right, 71st edition of TRN Classics. Ryan, Jesse, and Justin going back in time to a year that might be our most reviewed year on TRN Classics, 1989. I was thinking about this.
Really?
Yeah, I was gonna tally it up, but I mean, we have done a lot of editions of Classics on 89. We did not too long ago that Saturday night's main event back in May with Hogan and Boss Man. But we've also done Great American Bash 89. We've done Chi-Town Rumble 89. We've done SummerSlam 89.
Right. Yeah.
So I think this is our fifth. Pretty sure it's our fifth edition of Classics centered on 1989. So Justin Joint, how was your life in 1989?
Good, man. At this point, I would have been 9 years old. Definitely into professional wrestling at this point, but almost strictly WWE. Really, my only knowledge of NWA at this time would have just been from a couple random wrestling books I had that I've brought up a million times on this show. That just seeing the pictures of NWA and their wrestlers and what looked like their matches just looked like a totally different universe than what I was watching on WWF.
Yeah. And yeah, what about you, Jesse?
My brother was 5 days old. October the 23rd, 1989. Yes, just like Justin, WWF, I would say 90% of the way. I did mention when we covered Great American Bash 89 that I did watch that show live. It's the only pay-per-view my dad ever ordered from NWA. So I definitely had a common knowledge of who was in the promotion and kind of what was going on. And I would just thumb through PWIs and wrestlers that my mom would bring home. She used to work at Holiday Grocery Store when that was a grocery store. Now they're just gas stations. And she would bring me home a wrestling magazine weekly from work. It was one of my favorite things that she ever did.
Nice.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. So how, like, what grade would you guys have been in then? Fall of 1989. Justin, what year did you graduate again?
99.
So you're 3 years ahead of me. So you would have been in third grade.
Okay. Because
I was in kindergarten. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When the show happened. Yeah, I mean, I definitely didn't know anything outside of WWF. I wasn't watching on a weekly basis. I was trying to think when I first discovered WCW. And I am pretty sure is when one of my older cousins gave me a bunch of packs of those WCW trading cards.
The black ones with the gold stars?
No, this is the ones that had like the yellow border with like the orange speckles in it.
Yeah, they look like Saved by the Bell, kind of.
Yeah. Those came out, I think, in 91. Not particularly rare cards. There's a few of them in the packs that are rare. I have a ton of them still. The ones that he gave me freaking 30 plus years ago. Sometimes you'll find them, you know, still sealed in the wax packs at trading card shows and stuff. Like they're not that expensive to buy. Those are super mass produced, but I'm pretty sure that's the first time I would have known about WCW because I don't really remember watching it on TV at the time when I was really young. But I remember very vividly getting those cards, seeing Sting, thinking he looked really cool. Mm-hmm. So I think probably around 91 is when I discovered WCW. And by then I would have been like second grade. So, you know, so still pretty young. So all of this stuff I went back and watched years later.
Very similar to those figures over your left shoulder, Ryan. I had a lot of the NWA, WCW ones. Like, I don't remember what series they were, but Brian Pillman with the Cincinnati Bengals trunks, and Z-Man with his white trunks and white boots. I know you have quite a few of those.
No, nope.
I have the entire set.
No, yeah, joke.
Yeah.
No joke. You know, normally 8 o'clock, I take my oldest to bed and we read and I tuck him in. But on podcast night, I have to say goodnight a little early, and I went into his room, and he was playing with those figures, with the Sting and the Barry Windham and the Scott Steiner. And I got to tell him, like, bud, I'm about to go downstairs and talk about these guys.
Yeah.
What?
I love those figures. That Pillman is like one of my all-time favorite figures.
Yes. Period. Absolutely.
It was like this, right? Where his hands were like this.
Hold on. Yep. Hold on.
Yeah. I thought so.
Yeah, because Sting is like doing fists in the kind of the same position.
My favorite of those, funny enough, was either Lex Luger or Sid Vicious.
Ooh, not Luger.
There it is.
Yeah.
Go full screen here. Hold on. For anyone that watches the video feed. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
So I've got kind of right up above me here in the office. I don't know if you'll be able to see this. I'll just tilt the camera. See it up there?
Yes. It's
the ring with the red cage.
Nice.
And I've got, yeah, the whole set of the US releases of these. I think this came out in 1990, the WCW Galoobs. And the UK exclusive ones are a lot harder to get. I have some of the UK exclusives too that I've got on eBay, but then there's a few like the Dustin Rhodes one that is worth hundreds that I do not have. But I do have the full US series, and those are fairly affordable, or at least they were a few years ago. When the Hasbros WWF started really blowing up, I know Jay Schmitz is loving this conversation right now. when the Hasbros started blowing up, and I had a lot of those, as you can see over here in the case, not the whole set, but I got like 90% of them. I was trying to think, like, I wonder what the next ones that'll blow up are. And I thought maybe Galoobs, and they were still pretty affordable. So I got all the Galoobs. There's not a ton of them, but I got them all. And then the ring sometimes goes for a lot. But I got a pretty good deal on that. So they're all displayed up there. You usually can't see it on the video feed because it's at the top of that cabinet right above the Winged Eagle. But that's the Galoob ring as well. I absolutely love that series. Probably behind Hasbro might be my favorite wrestling series of all time. So it is WCW Halloween Havoc 1989, settling the score. Now, this is actually, so I believe it started being called WCW in late 88, if I'm not mistaken. Or that's at least when Turner purchased Crockett.
Yes. That was the purchase. I don't think it's officially called that yet, because there's multiple times, at least during some promos, where it's referenced to still as the National Wrestling Alliance.
Yeah, the titles were definitely still NWA for a while. This is... this is the first Halloween Havoc pay-per-view. It's at the Philadelphia Civic Center, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. They got about 7,300 fans in there. It did 175,000 buys on pay-per-view, which equated to a 1.77 pay-per-view buy rate. Not too bad of a number, honestly. When you look at the other shows around this time, I mean, it outdrew the Great American Bash. That did 140,000. It outdrew Starcade, which happened, you know, about a month and a half later. That one did 130,000. So the
wrestling
data
wrestling fans are suckers for a gimmick.
Yeah. I mean, the data that I have goes back to like 87, you know, like back then, Starcade 87, there wasn't a lot of people that had pay-per-view access. So the buy rates are way higher, even with like lower numbers. But Bunkhouse Stampede in 88 had done 200,000 buys. Bash 88 did 190. But other than that, this was the highest amount of total buys, at least since Starcade 87. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's not a bad number given where they were at the time. You know, this isn't the Spectrum. It's a smaller venue here at the Civic Center. I didn't even mention, I've got the t-shirt on, you guys. Did you notice this?
Very nice.
It's a bootleg, but it says Havoc 89. It's got the Civic Center on it. 10,000 watt Thunderdome. This is like one of my go-to shirts when we go to the pumpkin patch every fall.
Nice.
I skeeted about it this year because it's like, I don't really have any Halloween shirts. All I have is this Halloween Havoc 89 shirt, and it's orange, and I wear it pretty much every time.
Hell yeah.
And so, this is the third consecutive Philadelphia pay-per-view we're doing on Classics. Is that correct?
Oh, my seriously? God.
Yeah.
You're right.
Last month was In Your House Mind Games from Philly.
Yeah.
And we covered SummerSlam. What? And that was also Philly.
God, what SummerSlam did we do this year?
90. SummerSlam 90.
Yeah, 1990.
Hogan Earthquake. God, yes. Old. Rude Warrior.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. This venue is no longer standing. I'm curious if the Jenkinsons ever went there. I believe it was torn down, I want to say, in like 05. I looked this up earlier. Yeah, 2005. You know, a very old building. Like the Philadelphia Warriors played there in the 50s and 60s. Oh. The Sixers played there in the 60s for a little while. LaSalle played there. I believe Temple played there as well. And there was a lot of famous concerts, like the Beatles played there on their very first United States tour back in 1964. Several political conventions, including the 1948 DNC, which is kind of a famous one because I won't get too history teacher on you, but that was the one where like the Democrats started to kind of split between the more liberal progressives and the conservatives, and civil rights reform came up at that one. And some of the Dixiecrats left the convention because they were pissed and would eventually become Republicans. But one of the guys who made headlines, Jesse, I wanted to mention this, and this is the last of my history teaching for U.S. history tonight, was Minneapolis Mayor Hubert Humphrey spoke that night in the Philadelphia Convention Center. And he said he urged the Democratic Party to, quote, get out of the shadow of states' rights and walk forthrightly into the bright sunshine of human rights. And that quote is seen as like one of the things that was pushing the Democrats more to the civil rights side and away from where the party was, you know, in the 1800s to where they became in the 1960s. It's a pretty big moment in political history. And it's your guy from Minnesota, the former vice president, too.
Yep. And they named a shitty dome after him.
Yes, it is. At least it's Hubert H. Humphrey instead of the other Triple H.
That's true. That's true.
And then also, I was looking up to see if Wilt Chamberlain scored his 100 points in that same arena. He did not. It was in the Hershey Civic Center in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that sounds familiar now that you say that. Yeah. So, well, yeah, go ahead.
I just got to say, you know, sticking with the Philadelphia of it all, thank God this show is in Philadelphia, because if it had any other crowd, this show would be damn near unbearable. The crowd does a lot of heavy lifting.
Let's just talk about that right now, because, yeah, to your point, the crowd is fucking phenomenal on this show. Yes. They are incredible all the way through. But even so, I've seen this whole show before, actually multiple times, and there's a couple matches on it I really like, but you know, sitting here and watching it in sequence, it's a real slow start. Yeah. And I was trying to watch this as close to showtime as possible, and so last night I did my Bears podcast, and right afterwards I went out to watch this in the living room, and I could not get into it at all. And I texted these guys, and I'm like, I don't know how this show is going to go. I'm just not in the right headspace. I mean, it's not doing it for me at all. But I'm telling you, and I texted you guys this morning or this afternoon, when Lex Luger came out to that banger of a 1989 theme song, I was hyped, man. I was ready to go at that point. But everything before that, I don't have a lot of deep thoughts on.
I mean, it feels very much like a placeholder show. There's a lot of filler. Obviously, the opening match, there's a few others that are just absolutely meaningless. And all the important matches, except for like maybe one, have protected finishes. You think about, obviously, the Thunderdome stipulation is in use just to protect everybody involved, because they know they're gonna keep using all these guys going forward, or that, you know, they're gonna continue these feuds. So, yeah. And you know, it's funny with the crowd being hyped and this being a Philly fandom. The fans who threw snowballs at Santa Claus, you know, there's multiple moments on this show where they are cheering the bad guys in booing the good guys. And frankly, I don't blame them in any of those instances.
Yeah.
Definitely get to that one later. There was a couple of people I recognized in the crowd, one directly front row camera side, and then one in kind of an important part later on. The camera side, sleeveless shirt, by the way, which is really weird, and had sunglasses on. ECW announcer Bob Ortiz.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.